I think I may have preached on this subject not too long ago. Chad said if I wouldn't say anything about it, nobody'd remember. So maybe you wouldn't. I don't know. Maybe you would. But I want to talk to you tonight on Ephesians chapter number 5. But before we do, I want to pray, and that way I'll have liberty after I pray to read or talk or whatever I need to do. Thank you, Brother Joe. Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this evening, Father, most unworthy, unable, and insufficient for the hour. I know that. I know tonight you want to do something in this service to help your people. I know that, Father. I know we've not met just to come and go and leave as we are. But we've met here for you to do a work. And I ask you, Lord, if you would, to some way, open hearts and open my... give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech. And Father, help me to just preach with power and with unction. If there's any unconfessed sin in my life, please forgive me for it. And cleanse me and make me a vessel of honor. Father, I ask you again to open hearts, to do what needs doing. Hold back any hindrances, anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit. Would you just refrain it for a few minutes and allow Him free course in our midst. And we'll thank you and praise you. But most of all, Father, you be glorified and uplifted and magnified. I must decrease and you must increase. And Father, that's what I desire tonight, that you would just some way just move and take charge. And we'll thank you and praise you for all you do. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen and amen. All right, tonight I want to talk to you, and I titled this little thought tonight, Walk Not as a Fool Walks. Walk not as a fool walks. And I want to read a verse to you in chapter 5, verse number 15. It says, the Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. Not as fools. But as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, we're going to talk about some other scriptures, but here is the Apostle Paul writing to a church, and he says this, don't walk like a fool walks. He's writing to believers when he says that. Here's what he's saying, don't walk like a fool. If I was to say to you, you're walking in the path of a fool. You're walking foolishly. It would be offensive to some of you. But here's what Paul, he knew there was the possibility of God's people walking like a fool. And so he has to exhort us to not walk as fools. See then that you walk circumspectly. Now we know in the Ephesian letter, that word walk shows up maybe 4 or 5 times. I was just looking quickly to see if I could find several of them in Ephesians 4 and 1. He says this, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy. In verse 17 of chapter 4, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. He comes on over in chapter 5 and verse 8, and he says this in the latter part of the verse, walk as children of light. And then we see in our text, he says, walk circumspectly. And I believe there's 5 of them. That's 4 of them. I think I must have missed one. It doesn't matter. The point is that as we look in the book of the Ephesians, Paul's concerned about the believer's walk. And maybe it is the walk does lead up to the warfare. I don't know. Maybe Maybe that's what that's all about. Seemed like, Jad, might have been you that taught through the book like that. I can't remember. Somebody did. I believe it was you. But where I want to spend some time at tonight is in verse 15 down through, I don't know, maybe verse number 21. And I want to talk to you about this idea of walking not as a fool walks. I'd really like to say this, but it'd probably be too harsh, it may be too offensive. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool, spiritually speaking. And I don't know. I understand we live in a very sensitive age, and you can't really be plain spoken sometimes because people get their feelings hurt, and I have tried to learn to be a little more sensitive than I was in years gone by. But the fact of the matter is, there's a possibility that spiritually speaking, you can walk just like a fool walks. And can I just say this? It may be you're walking like a fool. It may be I'm walking like a fool. It may be your family that claims to be saved is walking like fools walk. Well, that's kind of where I want to deal tonight with that. And I think first we need to think about a walk. Did you know that this week you're going to walk for the Lord? You say, I don't want to walk for the Lord. I'm really not spiritually prepared to walk for the Lord this week. You're going to be walking for the Lord. A week of your Christian life is going to be spent some way this week. You're either going to do something for God or you're going to go down that week of your Christian life and your walk's going to be a pitiful walk. You're going to walk. I mean, time is going to go by and you're going to travel down that journey of life. And I understand. I understand maybe there's a couple of ways we can look at this walk and this course that's set before us, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 3. I understand that. But the fact of the matter is, and the way I want us to look at it to this evening is, every day of our life we're walking some way for the glory of God. Or for the, I don't know what the opposite of the glory of God, for the shame of God, I guess. This week, you're either going to serve God, walk in His ways, or you're not going to walk in His ways. You're either going to walk like a wise man, or you're going to walk like a fool. One to two. Now, I'd just like to ask you this before we get started. Are you going to walk as the wise, or are you going to walk as a fool this week? I think that's a fair question. Paul's saying this in our text. And before I say that, let me say this. This thing of walk speaks of movement. It speaks of activity. Can I say, God wants you to be active for Him? Do you think God just wants you to stay in one place and not move for Him? I mean, here you are, you've progressed this far spiritually, you've come down your spiritual walk and your spiritual journey, and here you are. You think God just wants you to stay here? Do you think God wants our church just to stay where it's at? Well, amen, Sister Sharon. Thank you for that good no there. I believe that's so. I don't believe God wants you to just be idle and stay right where you're at and never progress and never journey and never go forward for Him and never live for Him and never travel down the path He wants you to travel. I don't believe. The Lord wants us to be a moving, a going, if I could say it this way, a going forward people. And so when we think about this walk, we need to think about that. And then I want to say this, if you're going to walk for the Lord, it necessitates that you expend energy and effort. I mean, you're not going to walk without putting forth some energy and some effort. It's not going to happen. You say, well, I'm in automatic pilot. I've kicked it into neutral, but I'm still walking for the Lord. No, you're not. No, you're not. It's not going to work that way. If you're going to walk for the Lord, the very act of walking necessitates energy and effort. I just want you to understand that when we're talking about this wall that we're getting ready to talk about. Can I say too, the fact that you walk displays the ability to walk. There's some new believers that's just new in Christ. They can't walk. They're babes in Christ. There's things they can't do. They just can't serve God yet. They just not gotten there. And you have to understand that. They have to learn to walk just like a little baby does. And they're going to fall, and you pick them up, and you encourage them, and you dust them off, and you do whatever you have to do to get them to try walking again. That's just how it is. And so, if you're going to walk, you have to have the ability to walk. I think that's a fair statement. The very fact of you walking portrays a manner of a mindset. Have you ever seen somebody walking in a business-like manner? You know they're on a mission. You ever seen somebody walk like that? Have you ever seen somebody just a casual walk? Different ways to walk. Different ways that you can walk. And I'm just trying to get you to think about the Christian walk in some different ways. The very fact that the Lord wants you to walk demands that you go in a direction towards a location, a destination. You'll have it. There's a lot of things we say when He tells us to walk. Walk not as the Gentiles walk. Walk circumspectly. Walk as children of light. I mean, the very fact that He says walk tells us we're to go in a direction and toward a location or a destination. Fact of the matter is, most walks have a purpose to them. Most people don't. Some people just take a walk to rest their mind, but that's a purpose. I mean, usually if you're going to walk, there's a purpose there. You're going somewhere. You're seeking to rest your mind. You're seeking to get away. You're seeking to enjoy the view or whatever it might be. But there's a purpose to your walk. Many times it requires attention. It requires attention. Have you ever stepped on one of the children's toys at night? It just about puts you in the floor, won't it? You have to be real careful. I've learned to kindly, I don't know if it's old age or if it's just my wisdom, but I kind of slide my feet of a night. That way, if something's in the floor, I'll bump into it instead of step on it. It seems to work for me. And it's not the old man shuffle I'm talking about. I'm just talking about I do that intentionally so I won't fall. I'm trying to be careful is what I'm saying. You see, it requires attention in certain situations to walk, even if you're a good walker. Sometimes it's carried out in particular environments that need your attention. I mean, it might be of a night. Might be out walking of a night. Really, really have to pay attention. It may be outside. It may be in a territory that you're not familiar with. And all these things I'm saying about the physical walking can apply to the spiritual walk. It just goes hand in hand. And so I want to say, it's the Lord's will that you walk. That you go forward for Him. He's told us four times, I should have looked them all up. I believe there's five walks. I may be wrong, but I read you four of them. The Lord wants us to walk. Brother Bud said, I missed 2 and 10. Let me pick back up. That we should walk in them. Talking about good works, yes. 5 walks in the book of Ephesians. It is, if you don't get anything else, get this. It is the Lord's will not for you to stay where you're at, but to walk forward for God. He wants you to go on. Alright, now having said that, I want to zero in on one or two things tonight. I've already said the Lord wants His children to walk spiritually. And I let me say it in the negative. He doesn't want us to be idle. He doesn't want you to be immobile. He wants you to walk. Can I just say this? He doesn't just want you to walk however you want to walk. You say, okay, man, gung-ho, I'm going for the Lord. I'm going to do it my way, preacher. That's not how it works. You see, He wants us to walk in a particular way. He wants us to walk as a particular class of people, as wise and not as fools. He doesn't want you to walk as a fool. He wants you to walk as wise. Here's what I want to ask you. Are you walking for the Lord? Are you walking? Funny He didn't say running. It's funny He didn't say jogging, running, sprinting. Paul said, I'm pressing. But here's what He's saying to these Ephesians. I want you to walk. He's concerned that we walk in a particular way. Now, if you are walking for the Lord, are you walking the way the Lord wants you to walk? Here's what I think. A lot of people sit and hear preaching and continue going on just the way they always have. I believe that. Some of you have heard preaching. The Holy Ghost said you ought to act on that. You've walked out the door and never changed your ways. You've been a hearer and not a doer. And if everybody in this room be honest, we'd all have to say there's been times we've done that. That's right. And you may think I don't know that, but I do know that. I've done it. You've done it. And there's a good chance you'll do it in the future unless you are real close to the Lord. Now I want to ask you, do you want to walk the Lord's way? Now some of you don't. Maybe you don't. I don't have a right to say what you do or you don't. I don't know your mind. But usually in a crowd this size, there's some that say this, I like it just like it is. I like it just like it is. I don't want to change my life. I've got everything where I want it. I've got the job where I want it. I've got the family where I want it. I've got my playtime where I want it. I mean, I've got it just, it's not perfect, but I'm satisfied with it. Leave my life alone, preacher. Isn't that right? That's where we're at. But here's what God said. I want you to go on. Walk. I don't want you to stay where you're at. I want you to walk on. And here's how I want you to walk. And the first thing He says is to walk circumspectly. See then that you walk circumspectly. That's not a word we use today, but that word carries with it the idea of exactly. Walk exact. Walk precise. When you take a step, put your foot in exactly where it's supposed to be. We could go on and say it means perfectly. It means cautiously. Be sure, the negative would be cautiously. Don't put it where it doesn't need to be. You walk, but you walk carefully. You walk precisely. You make sure when you take that step, it's where God wants you to go. You walk cautiously. Strong's went on and said with attention, or the Noah Webster said with attention, with watchfulness. With the idea of walking circumspectly comes this idea of making careful and sure steps in order to avoid falling or stumbling, in order to avoid spiritual danger. That's the idea of it. If you're not walking circumspectly, you're not walking as wise, you're walking like a fool. Can I say when a man gets in a car and drives to town with a female, just him and her, and it's not his wife, it's not a sister or mother, I'm talking about a female that is of no relation to him, can I say he's not walking circumspectly? You say nothing will happen. It's innocent. It's just a trip that has to be made. I understand what you're saying, but can I tell you, that's not walking wisely. It's not walking wisely. That's just one example. There's a lot of God's people's not walking wisely in a lot of ways. We could just camp out on circumspectly and preach a little message with you. But here's what this verse is implying, that there's dangers on this spiritual walk. And if you step in the wrong place, there's a possibility of you suffering loss, of you falling, of you stumbling. Hey, have you ever lived in a time that God's people are not falling out of the way like they are today? Have you ever lived in a time? I mean, everywhere you look, there's just casualty after casualty after casualty. And you don't understand it. They were good people and they were serving God at one time. But now they're out of the way. What's happened? They failed to walk circumspectly. They walked as fools and not as wise. Here's what God's saying for you and I. First He's saying, walk. But then He's saying, there's a way I want you to walk. And the first thing I want you to do is to walk circumspectly. Walk circumspectly. Walk with spiritual precision and carefulness. If I could say it that way. Be careful. Very careful in some areas of my ministry. Refuse to just be casual about the wall. But then as I look at this text, and what I see in this text is God expounding on the circumspect walk. As I look at the text, He says, walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise. And then He begins to tell us some things to do so we can be wise. The first thing He says to do is to redeem the time. You know, David said this one time. He was writing the psalm and he said, teach me to number my days. I've thought about that many times. Teach me to number my days. And I think with that comes the idea that you and I need to realize the frailty of our life. The fact of the matter is, I'm 59 years old. In 11 years, I'm going to be 70. If I live in 16 years, I'm going to be 75. Can I tell you, I'm going to be limited then. You say, oh, I'm going to be going strong. Maybe you will, but if it's according to nature, can I tell you, you need to understand your life is short. You're going to wake up one day and be an old man. Your time is limited that you can serve God. That's how it is. It's limited. I've probably got... I would have said I've got 11 good years left. I'm up to 75 now. I feel like I got 16 good years left. Yeah, that's right. The closer I get to 70, the more I'm shooting for 75. I hope I do have that. There's a good chance I won't even make it that long. Now let me tell you, here's my point I'm trying to make. You don't know how long you have. You don't know how long you have. We may be in the 11th hour right now. Many folks think we are. I believe we are. I don't know how long the 11th hour will last. Will last if you consider the first 10 hours it took 2,000 years from the time of Christ. I don't know what the 11th hour will be, how far into it we are. I want to tell you, this thing's coming to a close. If you're going to serve God, you better make every day count. And here's the sad thing that I see. I don't see nobody concerned. You know, let's meet and preacher preach to us and tell us something and stir us up, but we're going out the door and we're not doing anything. Now it may be my preaching's dead. That very well could be it. It could be, I'm just preaching. But can I tell you, there's power in the Word of God regardless of the messenger. There's power in that, in this book, there's power. I don't see many people concerned about the time. Let me ask you this. I really need, and this is an honest, I'm giving you an honest request. I need 20 people that will give the church 4 hours a week for the rest of the year. Would you raise your hand if you could do that? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's better than what I thought it would be. That's better than what I thought it would be. Now, some of y'all didn't raise your hand. Why? Now, you answer. I don't want you to answer it for me. Why? 4 hours a week, that's 30 minutes a day, roughly. I guess 35 minutes a day. That's 35 minutes a day that you couldn't raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I'll give that to you." Why? Do you not have the time? The first thing he said was to redeem the time, because I would have thought he would have said, "Redeem the time because your days are short." That's what I would have thought. He didn't say that. He said, "Redeem the time." The focus is on the character of the days we're living in. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Redeem the time because wickedness is abounding. Because the wicked's giving the devil much more than 4 hours a week to give them their life. And we had 7 out of 50 say, "I can give you 4 hours a week." But the other, and I know we've got some kids in here, but the other 43 just looked at me. Why? Why didn't everybody raise their hand? You know why? We're really not concerned. We really, maybe we don't have it. If we don't, we ought to redeem it. And maybe we're saying this, like, "Well, I just don't know if I can meet that obligation." Well, I'm talking about by the grace of God. If He'll help you. I know you could be sick, not be able to, or take a vacation, be gone a week. I'm just saying, week in, week out, you can give 4 hours a week to the house of God, to the Word, besides just coming to the church and your devotions. There wasn't many, was there? And you 7 probably got yourself in trouble, because I'm gonna take advantage of it. We need it. We need it. Here's what I'm saying. The first thing he said, if you don't want to be a fool, let me just shortcut explaining redeeming the time. Let me just say it this way. If you don't want to walk like a fool, make good use of your time for the glory of God. That's what he's saying. Make good use of your time. Some of you couldn't because your time's filled. Your schedule's full. You can't serve God. You can't do this. You got too many other obligations. You can't even give the Lord 4 hours a week. And I'm not fussing at you. I mean, maybe it comes across like that, but I'm not. I'm just trying to get open your eyes and show you where we're at today. Have you redeemed your time? Are you living your life for the Lord or for yourself? Is that fair for the man of God to ask you that? Am I trying to beat you over the head with it, or am I just trying to show you where we're at? That's it. I just want you to see there's not many people redeeming their time for God. There's not many redeeming their time for God. They're redeeming it for everything else. And I can start through my little list. And you say, "Well, the preacher's just on his hobby horse again." All I ask you is for 4 hours. 7 people. What does it say? What does it say? The fact of the matter is this. If you're going to walk as wise and not as a fool, you're going to have to redeem your time. And I can go through a big, long explanation on redeeming. I remember we had green stamps we'd redeemed. Some of y'all remember them OS&H green stamps. And we'd collect them books, and they'd get real fat. You remember how they'd do. Ever so often, we'd go redeem our stamps. We'd trade them in and get something of value for them. That's what God's saying. Trade your time in and get something of value for it. And the only thing that's going to be value is those things that's eternal. And so the first thing, and let me not linger there long. We could talk about this thing of redeeming the time. I don't have any time, preacher. Give something up. How many of you that did not raise your hand watch 4 hours of television a week? I'm just picking on TV. How many of you do that? That's 4 hours right there. How many of you waste your time on whatever activity you're about, whatever your thing is in life? Everybody's got their little activities. How many of you could come up with 4 hours? Many of you could. Here's what I'm saying. If you're going to walk as a wise man, you're going to have to redeem your time. And if you're going to walk as a fool, you're going to waste your time. And that's your decision. It's not for me to try to beat you over the head. When I preach this message and I walk out that door, I'm your buddy whether you give 10 minutes to the church. I'm your friend. I care about you. I pray for you on a regular basis. I'll keep praying for you on a regular basis. What you do with your time will not affect my relationship with you or how I feel about you, but it will affect the way you walk before God. Maybe I'm beating that horse to death, and maybe we need to go on tonight. I'm going to check the time here right quick. Got plenty of time. All right, here's what it says, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Not because time's limited. Time is limited. I could say redeem the time because the days are few. And I'd be right, and I think that'd be a good fair statement. But what the Lord said is more important. You redeem the time because the days you're living in are wicked and evil and ungodly, and it's taken over, and we need to make good use of our time for the glory of God. Now, let me get off of that. And then it goes on in verse 17. I think it's saying if you're going to redeem the time, verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You need to understand what the will of the Lord is for your life. I want to tell you one thing that's the will of the Lord. I'm going to read it to you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I'm in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's just one. Can I tell you, this Bible's full of the will of God for your life. Can I tell you, it's not that we don't know the will of God, but the fact of the matter is, we're not doing what we do know we ought to be doing. I dare say there's not a one of you sitting on the bench tonight that could say, preacher, I know I ought to be doing this, I'm just not doing it. And you could, if you want to pose the question to me, I'm in the same boat. I could sit down and let one of you preach that to me, and I'd be guilty. Do we not know more than we're doing? Is it because we don't have knowledge we're not doing better? Is that what it is? We just don't know. You know why we don't know? We're not doing what we do know. Why would God reveal more of His will for your life when you're not doing what you know you ought to be doing? Well, I believe that's a fire state. My, it seems like I'm beating you up. Here's what I'm trying to say. God wants you to walk, but He wants you to walk a particular way. He wants you to redeem the time. He wants you in verse 17 to understand what the will of the Lord is. I don't think what I'm telling you is rocket science. I suspect many of us have read this and we're still just walking like we've always walked. I mean, really, it's the Ridgeview Baptist Church where it ought to be. From the pastor on down. Listen, I've sat on the pew and preached to myself if you want me to. Are we really what we ought to be? If we're not what we ought to be, it's because you and I are not what we ought to be. We are the Ridgeview Baptist. The Ridgeview Baptist Church is not this building. It's us. If we're not what we ought to be, it's because you're not what you ought to be and I'm not what I ought to be. Or will you answer that question? Here's what He said. I want you to walk, but I want you to walk a particular way. I want you to walk with understanding what the will of the Lord is. And I could just start. You're to read. You're to pray. You're to study to show yourself approved unto God. Workman needs not to be ashamed. You're to be the light of the world. You're to be salt. Can I just keep going on? You're to present your bodies a living sacrifice. You're to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset you. You're to pray without ceasing. I can just go on and on, and we know that. We know those things. God's told us how to walk. We know His will in so many areas. Notice what else it says. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. As if you have something to do with it. You ever hear people say it? I pray this, Lord, help me to be filled with... You know what being filled with the Spirit really amounts to? You yielding totally in every area of your life to the will of the Spirit. It's not some kind of supernatural Pentecost experience all over again. It's a yielding. He's inside of you if you're saved. And He wants to direct your thoughts. He wants to control your temper, your emotions. He wants to control your tongue. He wants to control your feet, your hands, your eyes, your ears. And when you say no to Him, you're saying you can't have all of me. That's what you're doing. And there's folks that will say, I won't watch that, but I'll listen to this. I won't go there. But I'll watch this. To be filled with the Spirit is to yield in all avenues of your life. Let Him have full control. As to submit to Him as much as you possibly know to do. That's to be filled with the Spirit. I wonder if we're Spirit filled. I search myself on a regular basis. Am I a Spirit-filled preacher? Am I yielded in all areas of my life? And can I tell you, I come up short. Did you know I sin with my tongue about as much as I do anything? And I'm not talking about cursing. I'm not talking about lying. I'm not talking about slander. I'm not talking about some of the things you would think. But I just say things in a hateful way. You ever just get frustrated and you just flare off and say hateful things? Well, I do that sometimes. Karen probably say all the time, I guess. But the fact of the matter is, I struggle. I struggle with my tongue. Sometimes my tongue, I don't allow the Holy Spirit to control my tongue. I say that to my shame. But can I tell you what I suspect? I suspect they, some of you sitting right there would say the same thing if you'd be honest. The Holy Spirit doesn't come. Hey, it is an unruly evil. No man can tame it. That's what it says. If he's not controlling it, it's a good chance it's out of control. Here's what he said. Here's what Paul's saying. If you're gonna walk like a wise man, and you're not gonna be a fool or not walk as a fool, you're gonna have to be filled with the Spirit. He's gonna have to control your life. And I'm not talking about some. Let me say again, some kind of. And I understand there's some folks that believe in initial feeling for service. Men that I have. Initial feeling for service, men that I have confidence in and have preached in this pulpit. But I'm as convinced as I'm standing here, Spirit-filled is a yielding in all areas of your life to the wooing and the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And He said, if you're not going to be a fool, you're going to have to yield to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God ever said, give that preacher $20. Give that missionary $100. Ever said that to you? She ever said, you ought to call so-and-so and check on them. Holy Ghost ever said that to you? I mean, it wasn't no big audible, but just on the inside, He kind of moved you in that way. He moves you. The Holy Spirit will direct you if you allow Him to. He'll direct you. Here's what I'm saying. You're going to walk not as a fool. Walk not as a fool walks. Then you're number one. You're going to have to be careful, circumspectly. You're going to have to walk redeeming the time. You're going to have to walk understanding the will of God. And you're going to have to walk Spirit-filled. Now, let me say too, another thing that hinders the working of the Holy Spirit is sinning against the Holy Spirit. You ever sinned against the Holy Spirit? Well, Ananias lied to the Holy Spirit. You ever lied to the Holy Spirit? I wonder why we all aren't dead. You ever said something? It really wasn't so. To the Holy Ghost. I suspect a lot of God's people have. You ever grieved Him? You ever quenched Him? Grieving means to make sad. They grieve at a funeral. You ever made the Holy Ghost sad by your actions, your words, where you went, what you did, who you was running around with? Am I the only one that's ever grieved the Holy Ghost? I bet you've grieved the Holy Ghost. You ever quenched Him? He wants you to testify. You're burning up inside. I'll just make a fool out of myself. I'll just make a fool. He says, I want you to raise your hand for my glory. I can't raise my hand. I'll make a fool out of myself. Has it ever come to you like that? It has me. Can I tell you where I was at one time? I wanted to say amen to service in my young Christian life, but I couldn't do it. I thought if I said amen to the message, everybody in that church would be looking at me. You say that's the craziest thing I ever heard? I know it is, but that's what I thought. And I'd watch these saints that would just freely rejoice in the Lord, and I'd say, hey, I won't be like that one day. And thank God He helped me get there. I mean, I've just got liberty now to worship the Lord. I can raise my hand, I can say amen, I can shout, I can rejoice. Hey, I just take my liberty. Why? Why? Because the Lord helped me with it. But there's a time I was bound down. I would quench Him. I would quench Him. There'd be a fire stirring in me. I'd just kill it down. You ever done that? You think we sin against the Holy Ghost and be filled with Him? I don't know. I don't know if we can or not. My, we grieve and we quench the Holy Ghost and we do despite to Him. There are those who have blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And my, there's several sins against the Holy Ghost. And we can just take this chapter and we go all the way down through there. If we're going to walk walk not as fools, but walk as wise, we need to have some joy in our life. You ever seen God's people so whipped and beat down? There's no joy. I mean, who ought to be the happiest? Who ought to be the happiest people on the planet? Should it not be God's people? It looks like whoever drinks Budweiser's the happiest. That's what the television shows. I mean, he's laughing, two or three women around him, a new car. Oh, everything's going good, fine clothes on. They don't show you the drunk in the gutter with vomit, urine all over him. Oh no, they don't show you that. That's not the happy people. Don't let the devil slip you a lie there. You know who's truly happy? When they're right with God, it's God's people. I've known people who have been involved in a particular activity. And that's where their happiness was at. And after about 5 years, they had to have a new activity. The joy was gone from it. You ever seen people, they just hop from one thing to another. They'll fish, they'll golf, they'll hunt, they'll camp, it's just like bam, bam, bam. And they do this for a little while, and this for a little while, and this for a little while. Yet, you know what that crowd's doing most of the time? They're looking for joy. But when the new wears off, the joy's gone. The joy's gone. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. If you're going to walk as wise, you need to find the joy of the Lord somewhere. This thing's not a miserable, just endure to the end. There ought to be some happiness in this. There ought to be some happiness somewhere. And so he speaks of that joy. In verse 19, verse 20 speaks of thankfulness. And verse 21, and I think most importantly, and he deals with this at length, he speaks of submission. Submission. If you're really going to walk as wise and not as fools, you're going to have godly submission in your life. You're going to have to submit to the Word of God. You're going to have to do more than just be a hearer. You're going to have to be a doer. That's where we're at. Here's what I'm asking you tonight. I don't know. I'm just preaching to you what God gave me. I told you I had three. Well, maybe I told you. I don't remember for sure. I had three messages I was wrestling around with this evening. And that's what I think the Lord wanted me to preach. How are you walking? Are you walking for the Lord? And secondly, how are you walking? Are you walking as a fool walks? Are you walking down the fool's pathway? Apparently that's a possibility, or God wouldn't have inspired the Scriptures to warn us against that. How are you walking? Where are you at? And if you're walking as a fool, you know what you can do? You can repent of it. Here's what you can do. You can tell God, I'm wrong and you're right. And if you'll help me, I'm going to turn from my way to your way. That's called repentance. That's called repentance. Let's have a song, Brother Allen. I know you don't have, maybe Brother Cheryl can help you on the organ or something. But I want you to bow your heads this evening. Maybe God's just dealt with your heart some way. I don't know. Maybe I've been so harsh I've offended you. I don't know. I'm not meant to. I'm meant to help you tonight. My desire is to help you. I don't want the Ridgeview Baptist Church walking down the fool's highway. I want us to be wise. I want us to be wise. Well, let's have a verse or something. Maybe there's somebody that wants to be honest with the Lord tonight and just say, Lord, not been walking like I ought to walk. Would you help me to walk like you want me to? Brother Allen, sing to us if you would.